With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Dell Small Business.
I'm Jim Shanavy. The White House has a new press secretary, Stephanie Grisham, who has handled the media for First Lady Melania Trump, will now be dealing with reporters on behalf of the president. More from correspondent Bill Rakoff.
In a tweet, First Lady Melania Trump announced that her press secretary, Stephanie Grisham, will move from the East Wing to the West Wing to succeed the outgoing Sarah Sanders. According to the First Lady's tweet, Grisham will also serve as communications director for the White House. Before serving the First Lady, Grisham served as deputy to former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer and served as an informal traveling press secretary for the president. Bill Rakoff, CBS News, Washington.
Well, Iran says come July 7th, it will start ignoring more of those nuclear restrictions it had agreed to under the 2015 nuclear deal with President Obama. The announcement comes a day after the Trump administration announced new sanctions on Tehran. National Security Advisor John Bolton in Jerusalem reacted to the news.
The threat of a nuclear Iran is very real, as are the threats of Iran's support for terrorism, its ballistic missile program, and its other malign activities in the Middle East.
Joe Cirincione is with the Plowshares Fund. He doubts Washington's new sanctions will accomplish much of anything.
I'm worried we're on a path for war, and the main reason is I don't see an off-ramp. I don't see any way that the United States is willing to have talks that are on terms that are acceptable to Iran.
Last month, Iran announced it would exceed limits for uranium enrichment that were set under the 2015 agreement. The House is expected to vote today on a $4.5 billion bill designed to address humanitarian issues on the border. The White House says this bill would hamstring its border security efforts. The president is threatening a veto. In the meantime, hundreds of children have been moved from a crowded border patrol station in Texas after reports of deplorable conditions. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
What we know is they're going to be no longer in Customs and Border Patrol care. They're going to be now in ORR, Office of Refugee Resettlement Care, which is a specialized division that is meant to take care of children, check on them more, make sure they're fed, know how to communicate better with children.
Vice President Pence was in Miami. He was rallying pro-Trump Latinos.
Like so many of the families here, you've lived the American dream. You've had the opportunity in this great free society that your families came to, my family came to, through a system of legal immigration that gave you the opportunity to become Americans and to prosper.
On Wall Street, the Dow is down 118 points, the NASDAQ off 81, and the S&P down 17. This is CBS News.
Dell Small Business Technology Advisors offer advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions like computers with Intel Core processors. Call an advisor today at 877-BUY-DELL.
Adam has joined the conversation. You're Adam, 7-Eleven now is willing to deliver a Slurpee to your public or beach location. So I said, which type of fast food would you want? I mentioned Wendy's.
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell would be, can I get that one at the public place known as my place at about 150? Okay. Among the items people have suggested, White Castle. It's been a while since I've ventured over to the castle. Last time either one of you ate at White Castle. Dan Cook. Ballpark.
Never had White Castle. Ever.
Well, somehow that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't.
It's probably since the last ice fishing season, I think. We kind of stopped. There's one
on the
Hickley exit, and we hit that one.
Yeah, because I think of that when I go up north, golf, where the DQs are. How about DQ? Have you been to a Dairy Queen?
I haven't in a while. There was one on Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park, which is not too far.
They shut that down.
Yeah. So I haven't been to one in a while.
When you go, what's your go-to?
The Peanut Buster Parfait.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's excellent. This guy is still bitter, and he's right. The idea that you can't get a Snickers Blizzard.
Had to be the top-selling Blizzard.
Yeah. How, They get
actually
rid of it?
Remind me the next time Governor Walz is on. I plan on asking him that, Sarah. And
well,
also,
apparently, it's a dispute with the Mars company or whoever makes.
Get
Snickers.
It done. Okay.
Yeah, let's
get
go.
It.
World.
Get,
I mean, you know, I put that right up there with Israel and Palestine.
Well, here's what I'm going to say.
Get the Dairy Queen and Mars people.
No, here's what
together.
I'm saying. If they don't get it resolved, you know what's going to happen to them?
What?
Obliteration.
Yes. Where is Henry Kissinger?
Yeah.
Bring in Henry Kissinger for this.
You know where he is? He's getting shorter and wider. But he's still here, and he was at the McCain funeral. He still was sharp. The Culver's chocolate concrete mixer. The chocolate concrete mixer. The Chipotle burrito. Extra sour cream.
Ugh.
Oh, sour cream's so tremendous.
No.
Los Acampo. Went to their food truck today.
Loss of taste, though, when you put the sour cream on spicy food.
It's a good line.
I'm here for you.
You're wrong, but you just...
No, still, I'm right.
No. How about they put the sour cream and guac combo? How about that? Do you like that combo? And then I added a little salsa.
Yeah, like spiced sour cream is okay. It's just the plain sour cream.
Well, I'm not just eating it out of the, you know, the container. It provides a nice accoutrement.
No.
If you have something very spicy, you want to just have something a little bit different.
Nope.
The triple Whopper delivered. I didn't even know we had a triple Whopper. Did you know we had a triple Whopper?
Are they delivering that to hospitals so you can have the bypass right there? Or how's that?
An A&W root beer. A&W root beer, properly rated.
And their burgers are fantastic.
I have not had one in a long time.
Oh.
Root beer float. Is it possible it can be underrated?
It's possible.
I just don't do it very often.
That's
I need
why
to do
it's
it.
Possible.
It's possible. Nick Faldo will join us in a matter of moments. Well, if you've listened to me over the years, you know I've had a chance to chat with Wayne Kostrowski a number of times. He is truly one of the best citizens we have in this area. So much restaurant work, but then his charitable endeavors never end. Wayne is just a fabulous guy, and he's involved in another great cause because a regular tour stop is finally coming here. The PGA Tour will head to Blaine to TPC in a couple weeks. Hollis Kavner getting that all done. And then tied to this event with the 4th of July week is an event they're calling Taste for the Tour. And it's four, of course, it's golf, so it's F-O-R-E. And they're having an inaugural event at the spectacular Interlochen Country Club. ICC just redid their entire clubhouse, obviously, consistently one of the two or three best courses in this state. The clubhouse is historic with Bobby Jones and the 1930 Open. The inaugural Taste for the Tour is presented by Tradition Capital Bank, a huge number of local celebrities. But the man who is joining us right now, Nick Faldo, is a part of the top people bringing this year, Andrew Zimmern, Gavin Kaysen, many other celebrities a part of it. And the six-time major champion, Nick Faldo, is kind enough to join us. Nick, a pleasure. Thank you for coming on. Why did this particular event draw you to it when I'm sure you're approached on so many different events?
Hey, let me just set up the big build-up. I better bring a clean shirt.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, we want a lot of stuff right here.
Yeah. I'm always this is one of the areas we're kind of keen to be involved in, is the culinary side. And it kind of all started. I met up with Jeffrey Sakarian, who is part of that City Harvest up in New York way. And he told me how they have, over the last 20-plus years, have come up to feeding, creating 100 million meals from taking food that's basically technically going past its sell-by date, even though he says there's no such thing as that. So we talked about this, and then I was then introduced to Wayne and what he'd done for Taste for the NFL.
Yeah.
And, you know, the tour is always a good bunch of lads and ladies as well to help out on a good cause like this. And so I'm happy to be part of it, because I think it's a very important, amazingly important thing, because, you know, we look after ourselves well on tour, I believe. You know, over the years, you eat well, look after yourself the best you can. And then you learn that, you know, even in America, that think it's pretty close to one in six or one in five kids are underfed, undernourished when they head off each day.
Yep.
And so it's an important issue to create awareness. It's the most important. We're creating awareness and, of course, some dollars for hunger relief for local families. And, you know, I'm delighted to be all part of this. I mean, to see what we can grow this to. If this is a thing, we've already got a couple more tour stops that want to do this as well. And let's see what happens.
Well, among the folks involved in this event is a gentleman named Matt Burke, and you'll meet Matt that night. Matt had a lot of success with the Vikings, and he won a Super Bowl championship with the Ravens. And this radio station is a part of a large event. Matt comes on with me each time, and the point Matt has made about what you're talking about is he says this is something that is within our capability of solving it. And when you think about so many other issues out there, we continue to try to. You get more information on cancer or diabetes or autism. But within hunger and food, we have it out there. It's just delivering it the right way. So to be involved in an event like this and raise awareness is just so important to so many people.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. We're not scientists. Food, water, is so important. I mean, I travel the world, and I still see standing water pipes in the villages across Asia, where we go build golf courses. Considering it's coming up to 2020, it's quite amazing that. God, I did one in. I did a. I went to a school in Vietnam, and it was the first time these kids had been drunk fresh water. How about that?
That's amazing.
That was only last.
And sad. It's both amazing and sad.
It's ridiculous. To be honest, it's ridiculous. The thought in the world, these are really basic things on the on your list. But if they're not on the government's list, or we privateers, we companies, we whatever it might be, have to do it. Have to make an effort to help others. And so, I agree. That's a very good analogy. We can fix this. This is just creating awareness, creating more food for people, better water to drink. I mean, that's your starter kit in life, isn't it, to be honest?
Absolutely. So this event is July 1st. I encourage people to check it out online. Taste for the Tour. And again, four is, because it's golf, F-O-R-E, tastefortheTour.com. Nick Faldo is with us. Okay, Nick, we now have known each other for a total of 4 minutes. You have to understand, I have one addiction in my life, and it's golf. Whether it's playing, whether it's watching, this has been a part of my life forever. So if you'd indulge me on some golf questions. Jay Monahan calls you and said, Nick, I'm going to take your one suggestion, which is going to make the tour better, and maybe you can implement it right away. Maybe it's going to take a few years. What change are you putting out there for the PGA Tour?
Wow. Especially being involved with television, I wouldn't say it's a change. It is part of it. It's all part of it because the golf and the TV, we need to create, because people have so much diversity, don't they now? I mean, catch people's attention is that's
hard.
The trick.
That's
we've got these phones, and we've got attention spans of a frog, probably. And we watch things for 5 seconds and we give up on it. So I don't know the answer, but I would have thought that's part of the mission, and which is changing. We're getting so digital in what coverage we make. I think that would be one thing. It's because we've still got to grow junior golf, and we've got to keep kids interested in golf. That's the other important thing. Kids don't appreciate the discipline involved in golf. You know, if it all goes wrong for 5 minutes, they give up, which is a shame because we know what a great game is. So it's along those sort of things. I haven't got anything really. I'd love them to play with no tee pegs for a week. It's see how they really can hit it, because they'll only have to place the driver on the tee box and then hit a driver off the deck all week, and then see how they really get along. But apart from that, it's obviously, I'm sure they're working and thinking about it all the time. We've got to get more people interested in golf, watching it and participating and competing. Simple as that.
So I take you at your best. Maybe the second of your three British Opens, whenever you decide you are at your peak form, and I put you in golf today.
Yeah.
How do you match up with these boys the way they play compared to how you played then? You would adapt to how the game is played now.
Yeah. Well, I see. I came from the tradition from Persimmon, good old chunk of wood with a rubber golf ball called Bellata, and you know the science now of a metal head and fancy graphite shafts or whatever, and a ball that's like a rocket. And it is different, and then physically as well, we understand so much more. It's a science now how to physically build yourself as a golfer. So yeah, 1990 was one of my great years. I win two majors.
Yep.
But I think if you're playing, if these guys are playing, we're playing off the same tee, they could be hitting it 50 yards past me for starters. That's going to make a huge difference. In two shots, that means a long hole is playing nearly 180 yards shorter.
That's a problem.
So, to be honest, I've been thinking about this. Old records, when somebody shot a 62 with a Persimmon and a Bellata golf ball, that has got to be different than shooting a 62 now. Yeah. I know the golf course has got longer.
Right.
But to be honest, that is a way more difficult task to get that golf ball around a golf course. Because again, way back, talking 30 odd years, we had to carry a ring gauge just to make sure the golf balls were round. Really round, because mm-hmm. as a pro, you'd notice that sort of thing. So, but obviously the science has completely changed. And again, the big difference is the driver, because again, you could name on one hand the great drivers of our time. It was Norman and Jack and Trevino and Watson were great drivers. Sevy was a great driver. He might hit it quick at times, but when he hit it good, it was fantastic. But now there's 105 great drivers because of the golf club. Because of the driver. So that has completely changed the game. It's changed the skill. Sure, courses are longer, but I don't... It's not apples comparing to apples.
Yeah, it's very different.
It really is. So I would love to have been in this period because of all the technical stuff, you can change a shaft in 10 seconds. You can get on TrackMan and study your golf swing or whatever... devices you want to have. And I love all that because I call it factual feedback. Rather than guessing, you've hit balls all morning, sometimes I go to the first tee and play one hole and go, oh, shoot, I haven't got it. It's not working. I go back to the practice ground. Now you feel way more productive. You stand for an hour and you get feedback on every single shot. Well, then you can match feeling with thoughts and results. So I love this era now that they're in. I think it's, that's why I guess the advancement in golf is so amazing.
Nick Faldo is with us. He's involved in a fantastic event that is coming up next week, Taste for the Tour. Taste for the Tour. Our man Wayne Kostrowski is a part of this. Go online, Taste for the Tour, F-O-R-E. Great event. July 1st at Interlochen, if you want to help out. I give you the opportunity to go back to any point in your career and play a round over again where you felt like the results could have been a little bit different. Where are we going?
Where are we going? Yeah. I would love to have won. I'd love to have won a U.S. Open, I guess. I played really great at Brookline, that first one in 88.
The playoff with Curtis?
The playoff with Curtis. I couldn't putt. I couldn't putt. I don't know my own stats, but honestly, I felt like I missed four fairways all week. That's what it felt like. I'm sure it wasn't. But I played so well and couldn't putt. And I would love to have obviously won a U.S. Open. That would have been very impressive back in... That would have been a good start to my career to win the Open and then the U.S. Open.
That'd be pretty good.
It would have been a good start. But, one of them or same thing, another U.S. Open, same thing at Medina. I couldn't hit my driver that week. I went with one iron literally all week and missed out by a shot. So, Yeah, I guess those two. If I could replay something in the part of my game in those weeks, it'd be those two, yeah.
I'm trying to qualify for an event coming up. I could use somebody to loop for me. Any yeah, chance you'd come up a couple days early?
Yeah, I'm a really good caddy, but I'm really expensive.
I bet you are really expensive. Nick, thanks for your time, sir. I wish you only the best with this event because it's for a great cause, and I'd love it if we could chat again down the line. Thanks for your time.
All right, cool. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, Nick Faldo, one of the all-time greats in this game and is involved in this great cause with our man Wayne Kostrowski. Taste for the Tour. It's on next Monday at ICC. Check it out, tastefortheTour.com. Well, closed circuit, because I'm sure, Dan, is there any doubt Nick Faldo's now dialed us up on radio.com? He's mesmerized.
Why wouldn't he?
He's mesmerized. He's only human. He's got to be mesmerized. Nick, if you want to come up and join me, maybe Carter will be there. You used to play the game, right? You said it drove you so nuts that you walked away.
I did.
God, if I just would have done that, 40 years ago, I'd have
a lot more money.
A lot more money. There's no doubt about that. I'd have a lot more brown hair, and I'd have a lot less joy. And if I want to play somewhere on a beautiful day like this, I ask this question all the time with my friends playing golf. I can assure you, whether they're paying me or not, high on the list on a beautiful day, if I can play golf, the Quarry at Giants Ridge. Absolutely, I can make the argument. It's as good as any course in this state. But if you go to Giants Ridge, which is only 3 or 3.5 hours away, you have the Quarry and you have the original, the Legend. They are both fabulous golf courses. Customer service is as good as you're going to get. All sorts of different packages, whether you're going up there during the week, you're going on the weekend, you're going related to a holiday, or it's just golf-a-palooza. They will work with you. Reach out to them, either give them a call, or better yet, go online, GiantsRidge.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. California.
I'll hurt you.
Get that shoulder back in its socket, okay?
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner.
They voted me stinkiest feet.
Wow.
But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner.
I'm so sick of eating meat. End of story, goodbye.
She's Bunker. A lady.
I wouldn't mind if a pig sat next to me.
Oh, no, she's a lady.
I wish they all could be.
Jimmy Yuckus. Jimmy Yuckus.
I'm a horrible
man. CBS's Jimmy Yuckus is in Minneapolis.
She joins us right now. This is an exclusive for Jamie. We're breaking right here. She is on Air Force One with President Donald Trump.
Nope, I'm not. I'm at a skate park in Huntington Beach, California right now.
Oh, you know what I'm going to go with? I bet it's rad. That's kind of my one.
totally rad.
That's my skate park term.
Gnarly, dude.
Right, very impressive. What you're working on a story, I take it.
I am. This adorable 10-year-old who's going to be in the Olympics is skating for us today before she flies off to Japan tomorrow.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is fantastic.
So,
do you know what happened 10 years ago today?
10 years ago today. Let's see. It's 2019. That'd be 2009. I don't know.
The death of Michael Jackson.
Oh, right. Oh, my gosh. We talked about, it's like the days all blur together.
Yep.
So we have a 6 a.m. conference call in California because it's 9 a.m. on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So we literally just talked about this a few hours ago, and I already forgot.
Wait, are you up for that conference call, or do you sometimes?
Every morning.
Oh, my God. That's got to be a grind a little. This is me as an insomniac. I fell asleep the other night. This is how bad my insomnia is, at 4:30 the other night. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Somebody needs to shoot me.
Yeah. The only thing that's good is that it keeps me pretty disciplined. I get up around like 5:30. I get myself together. And then I'm usually running during the call. And the only hilarious thing is if they call on me, then I'm like all out of breath. But they all know that I'm running. Yeah.
Yep. What's that? Great idea. Gotta go.
It also, to be honest, it gets you in a good headspace to get out the door.
Yeah, that's true.
Ahead of traffic,
Yeah, that is true. So I'm golfing. My then girlfriend texts.
Like right now?
No, no, no. I'm going back to Mike Jackson. I'm golfing at the time. Okay. My then girlfriend says Michael Jackson dead. You know, and you know at the time, you know Michael Jackson really wasn't in the news much. When he was, it was. You remember the tour was going to come back, and there was all the conversation about, you know,
right.
Will people pay attention to the tour? At the time, he was facing extraordinary money situations. Since right. his passing, his estate has made billions. I mean, it's crazy the amount
well,
of
that's
money.
That's what happens with all these musicians,
yes,
right?
Right.
They're actually probably more, I don't, they're worth more dead than they are alive.
Yes, yes.
At a certain point. Yeah.
Did you watch the Neverland documentary?
I didn't. I knew you were going to ask me. I did. I watched all the R. Kelly stuff, and I did not watch Michael Jackson. My brother actually told me because I was going to watch him back to back, and he was like, "I wouldn't do that if I were you. Like, take a pause.
It's a lot."
And yeah, you need a minute. So it's on the list. It just hasn't happened yet.
Keep it on the list because I thought it was extraordinarily well done. There are a lot of people who are Jackson supporters who are mad. And they felt like, well, they didn't give enough of the other side of the story. Let's be honest.
I feel like his whole life was the other side of the story.
That is correct. That's
all the publicity, all the PR machines. That's the other side of the story.
That is correct. And by the way, documentaries are allowed to have a point of view. The most brilliant
correct.
Documentaries are telling a part of the story. Hopefully they're not distorting. Hopefully they're not lying. Hopefully they're not obfuscating. I thought it was extraordinarily believable, and I've read plenty about the two individuals which have raised suspicion. If you're asking me, do I believe them? I do. So we've had a survey come out, multiple surveys come out, including one that came out just recently. And where are the numbers here? I hit it right in front. Of the 1,200 adults quizzed by a polling firm, 39% said they believe Jackson was guilty of charges, while 21% think he was innocent, and the remainder are unsure.
Yeah.
I believe he was guilty. I believe he was.
Yeah. I know. I feel like there's just, you know, I always wonder, too, now with social media and the prevalence of paparazzi and everyone's got a camera, I just wonder how different things would be now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think there'd be so much more evidence of things very quickly that people would not be able to deny.
I'm with you. I mean, we see powerful, successful people who still have access to high-priced attorneys, who still have access to shaping opinion, but you raise some good points. So I raised this at the time, and I'll raise it here again. I have, like so many people, a ton of Michael Jackson tunes, whether it's still at my house. I wish I still had albums. I don't anymore. But whether it's the CDs I had from decades ago or more, you know, like most people on my phone. I will say this. I have them on a couple playlists. And if they come up since that doc, I do skip them. But there are times like example where I'm in the shower and it's just a playlist. I don't run out of the shower and fast forward it. But it did affect me enough that I'm not as comfortable as I was then in listening to his tunes.
So I think what's interesting is, obviously, we talked about my brother getting married a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And I asked them, I said, you know, Michael Jackson music is such a, you know, everybody comes out on the dance floor. Are you guys playing Michael Jackson? And my brother was like, absolutely not. We told the DJ, no Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So then I went, because I'm a busybody and a news nose, and I went up to the DJ and talked to him for a while and said, you know, how often are people asking you to not play Michael
Jackson?
Question. And he said, you know, it's kind of 50-50. Like I feel like the people around your brother's age, early 30s, who have like watched the documentary and grew up at a time where the allegations were coming out are like, absolutely not. And he's like, older couples though, don't care.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think it was just a different generational, you know, the music is a part of their life. You know, there are certain things that happen to various songs or whatever, you know, the coming of age kind of situation. And I did read an article along those lines of like, I don't know how you deny music is such a part of, you know, you think about like your prom or your first kiss.
Yeah, right.
Or, you know, and so whatever song was playing, is that really about the artist or is it about a memory for you? And that's a kind of an interesting thing to think about in these situations as well. Like if it's something that elicits a happy memory for yourself, are you going to hit fast forward on the jukebox? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very fair point. And I'm not suggesting that anyway, if you're listening to Michael Jackson right now, you're an awful person. Because when we talked about this a couple times before, a lot of people said, now, wait a second. If we're going to start eliminating every individual who has brought art to us over suspicions of guilt,
yeah,
we're going to start eliminating a lot of people.
A lot of art.
Right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And as you said, because I've made this point many times, because clearly, you know, the actors in Hollywood are significantly, not even close, more left than right. And you'll hear conservatives say, well, fill in the blank who. Let's say it's Alec Baldwin now because of his Trump impersonation. Well, I can't watch him. My comeback a lot of times is I separate, okay?
Yeah.
I will separate a person's politics. For me, I'm not quite as comfortable separating pedophilia.
Right.
But I'm a little more selfish. If I want to see somebody and I don't happen to agree with their politics, or I've watched them in an interview and I thought they were a jackass, I guess I'm not being...
Isn't that the point of like how we've gotten to this divisive spot now?
Yeah.
Like we just went, oh, they have a different opinion than me. I don't want to deal with them, hear
yes.
about them, talk
right.
to them. Like they're like whatever side you're on, it's like the other side are these evil people or beings. And at the end of the day, like I think we
right.
all want the same thing. So I feel like I don't like that argument really. I mean, and I feel like you have to listen to the other opinions and you have to. And again, no matter what side you're on, I think you're doing yourself an injustice if you don't listen to other people's point of view and have discussions about it.
That's the thing. Be willing to have conversations about it and genuinely listen.
I'm not saying you have to agree.
Right.
I think we've gotten to this point in society where if you have a conversation and you don't agree with someone, you're like, it's not a conversation.
That's it.
It's just I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't know where we became a society where someone has to be right and someone has to be wrong. Why can't it be that you and I have a difference of opinion on something and I take in what you say and I can kind of understand and hold that and you can kind of understand me and hold that and maybe we both walk away learning a little bit more or expanding our mind a little bit over something or have some type of understanding, but I don't have to think you're right.
That is exactly right. Right. And I mean, listen, I give strong opinions on this show, including towards the president. And I know that'll shock you. Right. And I hear a fair amount. Well, you have bias. Well, no, I actually, when he was the businessman and was a funny guest on Letterman, I found him kind of in an odd way charming. I have reached my conclusion on him after watching him every day. But I am more than willing to listen to sides of the argument, but I'm going to give my opinion, right? And if others want to call
it your opinion,
that's it.
It's not. It's that's all it is. And take it or leave it.
Yes.
You could give me your opinion on my shoes today, and I can take it or leave it.
What are your shoes today?
I'm actually wearing. That's funny. I'm wearing Fila tennis shoes.
Fila tennis shoes. Wow. I didn't. Are they still? Are they still kind of a thing? Fila tennis shoes.
I don't know. No, I like them. They're comfortable. Oh. They slip on.
What color?
I'm at a skate park. I didn't want to wear like heels.
You should.
they're gray.
Gray. What's happened to the all white tennis shoe? It's done, right?
I mean, I think it was done a while ago.
Yes. Right.
I feel like that. This question should have been asked like 10 years ago.
Maybe the two of us should come back with the white tennis shoe.
You know what? You know what, though? Remember Keds? Like in the
90s, sure.
Keds
yes.
were such a big, the white Keds, and like
yes.
all women had the white Keds. I couldn't even stand those because I was such a mess. Obviously, they were dirty within like less than 24 hours.
Well, and also they smelled really bad. I mean, just to remind people, you have a foot odor issue, you know? So
I do, 100%. But so I would puff paint my Keds, and it would drive my mom crazy. But that was like my
Wait,
artistic
you would,
outlook.
You would what paint?
Puff paint, you know, like the
oh,
puffy,
okay, yeah, okay.
Remember from the 90s?
Yes,
the,
yes,
yeah. So all of my shoes had puff paint designs on them.
Oh my gosh! All right, hang out with your rad friends, and then I guess
totally.
you're taking a day off next week. That's uncalled for.
I'm taking my mother to Hawaii.
call in. Let's go. I mean, come on.
Might be on a snorkel trip during your show. I haven't been able to do the math exactly on the time difference, but I don't know that it'll work out.
All right. Travel safe. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Jamie checking in. It's 1:52, and then I should have my handy-dandy sheet right nearby. I do. Right here. Time to call us. This is the Lindis Construction Time Check, of course. Time to call us for a free home improvement estimate on windows and insulation. The president just addressed the media in the Oval Office. He covered a number of topics. I'm sure that will be addressed during CBS. We talked Iran in the first hour. You can always podcast our shows. WCCRadio.com/chat is this particular one. Do we have up the first hour?
It's in the process of going up
process.
Right now.
Got it. Understand that? We are going to get back to the president right at the start because the president used the words yesterday, not my type. Not my type. Are you bleeping kidding me? That topic when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.